Wednesday. It's been a while. Good to have you on. How's everybody doing? I want to give some credit here. 2 days ago, over on our YouTube channel, I was on with Jerry and Rhino, and we had Larry Krueger on. Larry from the Bay Area and the Krug Show on his YouTube channel. And I got to tell you, Larry hit the Kings-Warriors game before it happened almost to a T. Everything he said happened. I give him a lot of credit. He broke that down. He really did. He broke the game down unbelievably. It was incredible. Everything he said happened. So I want to give him props. The Kings took apart the Warriors last night. Boy, the Warriors without a healthy Steph Curry, with an ineffective Klay Thompson, they're just not the same team. And I give the Kings a lot of credit. We just did a show with Jerry and Ryan over on YouTube and talking about the Kings defense. No Zion Williamson on Friday. What a break for Sacramento. I just don't think there's any way in the world they would have beat the Pelicans with Zion Williamson. I don't see it. Now, the Pelicans have won without Zion Williamson against Sacramento. They've won without Brandon Ingram. They've won without C.J. McCollum. So, you know, it seems like every time they've played the Kings, they've been without a key player, and it really hasn't mattered. But, you know, I know the Kings are 0-5 against New Orleans this year, but you only have to be better than them on one night. And that night is going to be on Friday, and we'll see whether or not they're up to the task. So we'll open up the lines. You know the routine. If you want to get on, you raise your hand, and we will do it. Miami and Philadelphia playing early on, with Miami currently in the lead of that game. And then, of course, the other play-in game after that. So we'll see. You know, you get an extra day. Again, no Zion Williamson, and that changes the game. But, you know, if the Pelicans shoot the ball well from three and they're able to get the looks that they got against Sacramento even last week, they'll win the game. You know, the Kings are going to have to figure out a way to limit that. And again, you have Brandon Ingram, who did play against the Lakers, but wasn't even on the floor in the fourth quarter because he was ineffective. Will having him come back, get the rust off, and then have 3 days before his second game make a difference? It may a little bit. I think it's safe to say that Brandon Ingram won't be 100%. And it'll be very interesting to see how the Pelicans use him. But I got to believe they're going to need Brandon Ingram to be at least effective in this game if they're going to win. I mean, you got to be a little shell-shocked if you're New Orleans right now. Everything's rolling. Then all of a sudden, boom, you get to the last week. You beat the Kings in a game you need to win. Then the next night, you beat the Warriors, and you're sitting there, and all you got to do is go home and win against the Lakers, and you're the sixth seed, all right? And you're in, and you're playing. And think about this. Think about that, right? Had they won against the Lakers, right? If they had won against the Lakers on Sunday, they would not have had to use Zion Williamson in an extra game, and he'd be good to go in the playoff series coming up, right? Think about how important that is. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, playing extra games is no picnic. Even if Sacramento wins tomorrow or Friday, boom, you know, they got to get going against a team that's had a whole week off, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Oklahoma City Thunder. So, you know, again, the Kings aren't in the playoffs yet. These are just extra games onto the regular season, you know, that you have to win to get to the playoffs. So the playoffs haven't even begun yet. And yeah, you could say that Friday's game is like a playoff game. It is like a playoff game, but it's not a playoff game. You know, the Kings are not in the playoffs yet. And if they win on Friday, then they'll play Oklahoma City. But here's what I do know about the Pelicans. They've won games against the Kings without C.J. McCollum. They've won games without Zion Williamson. And they just beat the Kings last week without Brandon Ingram. So they've beat the Kings even when they have had top players out of the lineup. But if you're the Kings, I mean, you could not ask for a better scenario than no Zion Williamson, because he destroyed Sacramento last week. And he was playing, you know, people say he played the best game of his life last night against the Lakers, that people that they had never seen Zion play so well. So again, you got the Kings and the Pelicans. We'll have the pregame with Ryan. Jerry joins us at the break, and then the postgame show all coming up on Friday. I'll also do a show tomorrow over on YouTube on If You Don't Like that will probably do it at 8 o'clock Pacific. All right. I know that's not good for you, Patrick, but that's just the way it is. We're going to do a show tomorrow over on YouTube. If you don't like that, coming up at 8 o'clock. All right. What do you want to talk about? Who wants to be my leadoff person? If you want to talk NFL draft, we can do that as well. But I kind of get the feeling we'll be doing the NBA and the Kings. All right. Let's get to some phone calls, and we start with Trent. Hey, Trent.
Hey, great to talk to you again, Grant. It's been a long time since I've spoken to you last. Great weekend watching the Masters. I know it's open for him Wednesday, so we can talk about golf a little bit. Really great watching Scottie Scheffler dismantle the field and dismantle the golf course back on Sunday. So my son and I had a really great time watching it, and I think Scottie is the up-and-coming guy that's going to do a lot of damage winning majors, I think.
He's got such an amazing swing where it almost looks like his feet come off the ground, and yet he's so accurate. You know, fairways hit, greens hit. He's a good putter. I mean, he's got the whole game. His short game is great. I mean, obviously, in order to win majors, you have to have it all. But, you know, he's clearly the best player in the world, and there's really no debate on that.
I really think you're right. You know, you mentioned his swing, and I think I think every shot that he hits is different, and I've said that several times, and just every single thought that comes in his head is carried out through his swing, whether it's a draw or it's a punch fade or something like that. It's just amazing to watch, and you can tell with the swings that he makes is indicative of how the ball flies through the air. Not since Bubba Watson, since golf has been fascinating to watch for me, watching Scotty, because, you know, Bubba hit it every time different, and then Scotty hits it every time different as well. So I just can't say enough about Scotty. He's awesome, and he's a great person, great family, and yep. Love that. So thanks, Grant.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right. Did not expect us to be talking about golf today as my lead up, but I love talking golf. So it is an open forum Wednesday. We can go in any direction you want. All right. Who wants to be next? Let me know, and we'll put you right on, and we will do it on this show. And again, tomorrow, probably 8 o'clock Pacific, we'll be doing a Kings Pelicans preview, and then we'll move right into Friday with all the shows over on YouTube. All right. Let's get to Waggus right here on Listen App. And Waggus, good to have you on. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, no, just wanted to talk about the game. I initially saw right away Keegan was very aggressive. You know, these are the moments, right? I feel like, you know, like last year, I feel like in game four, that was the game he really took a step forward. And, you know, last night was another step forward. Really wanted the Lakers to lose. I felt like if Zion hadn't gotten hurt, he was going to complete the comeback.
I agree.
Yeah, but you know, speaking of Zion, you know, now he's been getting obviously in shape, right? He's a lot better in shape, but I guess because I truly believe the guy can be, like, you know, a next face of the NBA for the next 10-15 years, because I really believe he's that talented, especially watching him last night. Like, do you think that it's hard for him to keep weight off? Is that just how the body is, or is it all NBA specific? Because
I think it's hard for him. I think it's hard for him, and people around him have said as much. So I don't see him playing for 10 or 15 years. I don't think his body is going to hold up for that long.
But you would agree that if he was to, like, you know, I mean, maybe LeBron, if he was to be in shape, right, that he does have the potential to be that next level LeBron type of star?
Yes.
Okay.
I do. All right. Yep.
Okay. All right. And then as far as, by the way, I wanted to congratulate you. I think last night you guys hit 18,000 in the pregame.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of numbers, really good. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. But, you know, we've had some pretty good numbers this year. There was a game we did, I want to say, 2 weeks ago, where we had over 25,000 on the postgame show, both on X and on YouTube combined. So, yeah, thank you, though. Appreciate it.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I was looking at that. I'm like, you just really started doing this like last year, like a year and a
yeah.
half. So,
yeah.
Kind of taking over the area again. And as far as, you know, the Kings, like, what type of chance do you give them? And like, and I guess what I'm trying to say is that what are some of the things that they need to do to win this game on the road?
Well, they have to somehow slow down the volume of 3-point shooting for the Pelicans. And if they don't, they won't win the game. You got to remember, New Orleans has beat Sacramento this year without key players in every matchup, but they cannot allow the Pelicans to make a living on the three. And it starts with dribble penetration. We saw that last week in Sacramento where they break down the defense and then boom, there's three quick passes on the perimeter and then an open shot. That can't happen. The Kings are going to have to figure out a way to slow that down. And I think Jerry made a good comment today. Their number one priority is to contain CJ McCollum, because when McCollum gets going, I mean, he just torches Sacramento.
Yeah. And last night, the faces, you know, obviously we saw on the Warriors, you know, they were done. And honestly, they were done last year. It's just Sabonis got hurt and then he forgot how to rebound basketball. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it was Sabonis getting hurt. I think it was Fox breaking his finger. Sabonis was fine in the playoffs. He just didn't play well.
Well, I'm talking about when he got stepped on, remember? Late.
Yeah, but it didn't. Yeah. I mean, he wasn't even on the injury report. I don't think that was a factor in getting more information this summer. I don't really think that affected him as much as you think it did. I think it was De'Aaron Fox's broken finger that really turned that series around, in my opinion.
I couldn't agree more. And even with that, we were a Barnes make away, right? From pretty much. And I was really impressed with their game six victory, but no, the reason I bring up, you know, Sabonis, because he just didn't look himself. He just didn't look himself. Like, he looked like a completely different player last night compared to that whole series. But I don't know. Whatever, right? So, I just wanted to last and get your pick now. Or have you made a pick? Who's going to come out of the West? Or are you still just going to watch it out?
I have not made. I'm gonna say Denver. We'll come out of the West, but no, I haven't made a pick. How about you?
If Kawhi Leonard plays, I think that's the only team that can beat Denver, in my opinion. And
I just can't pick a team that has James Harden on it. I just can't do it.
No, absolutely. But James Harden is not the main player anymore.
I understand, but James Harden's going to have the ball in his hand in a big moment in one of those games, and I just think he'll pee his pants again. So that's why I'm not picking the Clippers to get to the finals.
Okay. All right. Grant, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Because remember last year, you know, he hits these two game winners, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is a year.
Yep.
And then he just disappears. Okay. So, one last thing, and I was thinking about this today. You know, Kawhi Leonard has a chance to do something really special, and not only to win three rings, but to win with, because if he wins one here with the Clippers, that, if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be their very first ring as well, right? Very first championship.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So he does. No, I'm just saying, like, name another player that's gone to two different franchises like that and have given them their.
Well, but yeah, because he won in San Antonio, he won in Toronto, and this would be a win in L.A. I mean, think about that, right?
Yeah, three. Yeah. So yeah, but
LeBron. I mean, LeBron did it. I mean, he won in Cleveland, he won in Miami, and they won the strike shortened year with the Lakers.
Yeah. So, like, there was
not the strike shortened year, the COVID shortened year. I beg your pardon.
Yeah, the bubble year. No, but
and you know, Robert Horry did it.
Yeah. Yeah, but Robert Horry did not lead a team like quite it.
I understand. I understand, but you know, impressive. There are guys that have done it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. So, thanks, Grant. Should be fun.
Hey, thank you, Waggus. Appreciate it. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, we got more folks that want to talk, and we bring on Dorian. Hello, Dorian. How are you today?
Hey, Grant. Great to hear from you, sir. Thanks for doing the show again.
Pleasure.
Of course, Grant. That last night's win, it was a win that I wasn't personally expecting. Last year, I went to every home game against the playoff series, and you know, game seven had this like weird, really, really nervous aura energy around the stadium, around the arena. And I didn't go to last night's game because it just felt like more of a glorified kind of regular season game to me. And I just felt like going into the game, I wasn't nervous or anxious or anything, but I just kind of felt like the Kings were going to lose this game. I was really surprised that I thought the Kings came out, you know, with Keegan Murray, you know, he obviously had a great shooting night, 32 plus points. But I thought that Mike Brown outcoached Steve Kerr and his coaching staff. I thought his early use of challenge was really great for confidence going into, you know, the later quarters. I thought the Kings' activity on defense, I mean, they were doing a really good job of blitzing Curry at times, but also doing a good job as soon as Curry kind of dished out to the spray, the Kings were getting right back on defense. And I thought their defensive scheme was really, really good. I was really, really praying for a non-collapse. And I kind of sensed it a little bit going into halftime, you know, because I thought, you know, the Kings were up by like 16, I think. And I think the Warriors, you know, brought it back down to 4 points. And I was like, oh, my gosh, here we go again. The Kings are going to collapse in the second half. But I thought they did a really good job of kind of weathering the storm. You know, I thought that when Len fouled out or fouled Wiggins on that 3-point shot, and then they upgraded to a flagrant foul. I thought that was going to be a really big turning point for the Warriors if Wiggins had made those 3 points or those three shots.
Yeah, he missed luckily, him. Yeah,
he didn't hit them, and they went 1-for-3. And I think the Kings got a block going into halftime. So I thought that would have been a really big turning point, I think, for the Warriors' momentum. But luckily, Wiggins missed those two free throws. But
the Warriors to me, looked like a lemon that had all the juice squeezed out of it. That's how I looked at them. And again, I give Larry Kruger credit because we had him on Monday and sure. He predicted all of this. He said, I'm telling you, Curry's not right. Thompson's done. Wiggins is, you know, he hit it. Everything he said, the Kings are going to win because they have all their players are in their prime. Sure. He said the Warriors are old. They're tired. They're slow. Yep. That's exactly what they look like.
Yeah, the eye test. You could definitely see the eye test. Like, obviously, the Warriors are a very interesting team because half their team is really young and then half their team is really, like, veteran, you know? So they have a really interesting dynamic, which I think is really good for the young players that are coming up. Yeah. But as far as winning, I don't think, I think it's going to be a little while before the Warriors can be a championship contender again. I didn't really foresee the Kings having a second opportunity to possibly end their dynasty. And I think I don't think the Warriors.
Their dynasty really ended last year. It didn't end this year when they lost in the second round to the Lakers.
Sure.
That was really the end of their run. I mean, I think most people would agree with that. You got to remember they were a sixth seed last year.
Totally.
You know, it's not like and this year they were a 10th seed. So they're done. Their run is over. And they had a great, great run. One of the best in the history of the game. But it's over now.
Yeah, 100%. And I'm glad the Kings kind of got the opportunity to do that. I think this was a much bigger win than what it really was, just because of the circumstances of the game. You know, you win, you have an opportunity to possibly, you know, play the Pelicans or the Lakers and move on to the playoffs. You know, I don't think the Warriors are that good of a team, but I think just the circumstances of the game really made this win that much better for the Kings. And I think, you know, on Friday when they play the Pelicans, I think they're going to have a pretty good momentum and pretty good confidence going into that game. There's no reason why Sabonis cannot outplay Chet Holmgren. I mean, last game, I thought Sabonis got outplayed. He arguably had this worst game of the season, you know, against the Pelicans. You know, Sabonis has 50-plus pounds on Chet. I mean, there's no reason why he cannot dominate.
Yeah, but Chet Holmgren plays for Oklahoma City. You got to win the game Friday first before you can worry about Chet Holmgren.
Sorry, against the Thunder, totally, 100%. And with Zion being out on Friday, I think if the Kings can play really good perimeter defense, I think they have a good opportunity.
Yeah, but why would I think they're going to play good perimeter defense? They haven't played good perimeter defense all year. And the Pelicans in five games have destroyed them on the perimeter, including last week in what was the biggest game of the year for Sacramento. The Kings tried to play perimeter defense in the biggest game of the year, and they still got beat. So, I mean, you know, I'm taking the notion I will believe it when I see it.
Yeah. And I would agree with you that, Grant, because initially I thought the Kings were going to blow it yesterday and lose. But, they proved us wrong. And obviously, like we've talked about this before and we've seen the eye test, they're a pie-bowler team. Some games are going to do well. Some games are going to do bad. Some games they should have lost. Some games they should have won. But I'm hoping that they can come out and just – I mean, it's one game, right? It's not a series. Yep. If they can just muster up and play hard, and Mike Brown makes good
coaching. Well, they'll play hard. There's no question. They're going to play hard. I mean, both teams are going to play their asses off. You know that. It's the winner goes on, the loser is done. Both teams are going to play their butts off.
Yeah, and before I leave, I also liked how Mike Brown only used an 8-man rotation. He wasn't playing around with Colby. He wasn't playing around with Sasha.
No, you can't play those guys.
It was eight players. Those eight players produced on the court, and that's one thing I really liked about Mike Brown. And it was a spectacular win. Congratulations to the Kings. Obviously, they're not in the playoffs yet, but they got to win one more game. Before I leave, Grant, I want to make one last comment about Waggis. Waggis was saying something about Zion and kind of his weight holding back. One thing I've observed about Zion Williamson, and I'm sure you've seen this covering, you know, sports and the Kings for 32 years, there are athletes out there that don't necessarily like the sport that they play. They just happen to be really good at what they do. And I think Zion Williamson is one of those players where I don't think he loves basketball, because he's been in the league for 5+ years now, and I don't think he's lived up to his kind of his potential. Granted, he's been hurt, but I think he's one of those players that he doesn't really love basketball, I feel like. He's just really good at it. What do you think about that?
I can't answer that because I don't know him, so I'm not going to make a comment without knowing. I don't know. You know, he sure seemed like he liked it last night before he got hurt, but, there are players like that. That's very true. I've been around players like that. It is very true. I can't say. I don't know. I've never talked to him, so I can't make that comment.
Yeah, I had teammates at Sacramento State when I played football that were just like that. They were had so much talent, but just partied their ass off every weekend, just didn't want to play. But nonetheless, go Kings, Grant. Thanks so much for doing the show. As always, let us know how we can support you. Much love, man.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it very much. Definitely. Billy Owens was like that. I mean, Billy had all the talent in the world. I don't really think he enjoyed playing the game. All right, let's get to Zach. Hello, Zach. Welcome to the show.
Hey, first of all, Larry Kruger was definitely spot on. That was pretty crazy.
Yep.
Other than that, I think it was just going to come down to was Sacramento going to be ready to play and make their shots. Anyways, I wanted to just get your thoughts on, like, I'll give it mine, but, like, up until this point, what do you make of Stephen Curry's legacy?
What do you mean, what do I make of it?
Like, I just think, like, the four rings that they won, or that he won with the Warriors, like, I mean, his first ring came against a Cavaliers team who didn't have their two best players. The next two were with.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there. He's going to go down as one of the greatest players of his generation. He revolutionized the game, and he will always be considered as one of the great point guards of all time. But now go ahead, your turn.
No, I definitely agree with that. I was just saying, like, he has achieved a lot, but this is in the 2017 Zaza, you know, Kawhi went down, 2018. Chris Paul missed a game. 2022 was pretty solid, but in that conference finals, Murray and Porter Jr. was injured. So I just saw, like, someone saying, like, as far as those go, it's could affect it. I don't know. I just want to see. I was just curious. Like,
he's one of the great players of his generation. And so I don't really know what else to say. Do I put him ahead of Magic Johnson? No. Could I put him up there second on that list? I could. What he did and during his prime, he was unguardable. Again, he's got the four championships. He's got everything else. I don't look at it that way. You know, you and I look at it a little bit differently. I think instead of talking about who didn't play and who did play, you should just look at how he played in the biggest of games and what he did for that franchise. And then when Kevin Durant left, it was like, well, the Warriors won't win without Durant. Well, guess what? They won without Durant. They won before Durant got there, and they won after Durant got there. Pieces around him changed. Yeah, the nucleus of Green and Clay didn't change, but everything else changed every year, and they still won, and they still won, and they still won. And he was the main reason why. So, you know, to me, he's one of the greats of all time.
I was just asking about that because I actually just wanted to ask someone of your expertise and to think and make sure that if you would agree with what I saw online. So,
like, to me, is he a better basketball player than Kevin Durant? No, but I would put him way ahead of Durant in legacy. To me, it's not even close. So if you want to make a comparison, let's talk about Kevin Durant's legacy. Durant won a championship in San Francisco with the Warriors after they'd already won a championship. They didn't need him to win a championship. They proved that before he got there, and they proved that after he left. And Durant hasn't been able to do that since or before. So if you really want to talk about legacy, I would put Curry's legacy way ahead of Durant. That's okay, me personally.
Okay, what about LeBron?
No, LeBron I put above both those guys. What LeBron's done in his career, I mean, he's in uncharted waters, personally. Okay. So, to me, no, LeBron's ahead of both Curry and Kevin Durant.
Okay,
LeBron's been in 10 NBA finals. Think about that for a minute with three different teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to get someone's expertise like you, so that's all.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate your call as always.
Hey, thank you.
Again, I think Steph Curry is one of the greats of all time. And I don't think you can have a conversation and not include him, you know, in its superstar category, like an elite category. I mean, the Warriors have zero championships without Curry. I'll answer the question that way. If you take Steph Curry off the Warriors, they have no championships. Zero. Okay? Nada. So look at it that way. All right, don't forget, coming up on Friday, pregame, halftime, postgame, Kings and Pelicans. Tomorrow, 8 o'clock Pacific, I will be with Rhino on. If you don't like that, we'll be breaking down the Kings and the Pelicans. Still time to get in here on an open forum Wednesday if you want. And if not, I'll wrap up the show in a couple of minutes. We've got NBA basketball going on right now with Philadelphia and Miami, and then the second game to follow. And then, of course, the Kings tomorrow will board the airplane and fly to New Orleans and get ready for the contest on Friday. And if they win, then they're going to fly right to Oklahoma City and get ready for game one on Monday. And if they lose, it's going to be a brutal flight on the way home after the contest. That's for sure. That's for sure. Pack your bags for a week and hope that you are going away for a week instead of just 24 hours. So don't forget, tomorrow, 8 o'clock, over on my YouTube channel. If you don't like that, we'll talk about the Kings and the Pelicans. All right, let's get to John right here on Listen App. Hey, John.
Grant, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, John. What's up?
Oh, man. Just still enjoying last night's victory. And, man, how you broke it down about Larry Kruger, he absolutely nailed every tiny little aspect of his comments on your show the other day.
Yes, he did.
It kind of blew me away because, you know, he's a Warriors guy, but he laid it out how it is, you know, very much like you do. So, you know, I've always had respect for him, but I gained even a little bit more respect for him just because of his brutal honesty. And he didn't want to say that shit, but he meant it. And he was absolutely
right.
Well,
he doesn't work for the Warriors. I mean, he might be a Warriors fan, but you know, that doesn't really alter how someone's opinion is, but I get the point. I mean, he knows the team very well. He watches them play every night.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I meant by it. And I know he's not, you know, employed by those guys, but he freaking absolutely nailed it. That guy can break down a game. That's for sure. And I want to get to something real quick that Trent started off with, talking a little golf about Scottie Scheffler. That freaking guy, it's like like Trent said, he shapes each of his shots a little different, but every time he swings, it looks like it's an absolute effortless swing, even when he's got the big driver out, you know, like other, you know, look at DeChambeau. When he's driving, he's putting all effort into that freaking swing. But Scotty, it seems like it's effortless. Everything he does, it's just, here we go again. And he always hits the fairway. I don't think he hit the pine straw, but one time in all 4 days last week. Yeah, he's something else, man. And, you know, like we have talked about, it's nice to see the Masters and seeing everybody, all the best players.
Yeah,
man. It turned out to be pretty good. Even the brutal Friday wins, you know, kept all the scoring down. But, you know, pin placement on Sunday, too, it just made it fun. And, you know, all congrats to Scotty and all that stuff. So that's all I wanted to get at. Go Kings. Hey, Grant, you're doing an absolutely great job and hooking Ryan up with everything he's doing. He's doing a great job, too. Keep it up, and we will talk to you a little bit later.
Thank you, John. I appreciate you. You take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Grant.
All right, good stuff there. Good show today. Don't forget tomorrow, 8 o'clock on my YouTube channel, we'll have the Kings Pelicans preview. And then Friday, three shows, pregame with Ryan, halftime, and postgame show. Let's get to some more phone calls. And we say hello to, let's see if I can get him on here, Jerry. Jerry, it's your turn. Go right ahead, Jerry.
Hey, Grant, how you doing today?
Good, buddy. What's happening?
Hey, Grant, just to follow up on the call, when did that ever stop you from, you know, when you used to work for the Kings, you used to blast them all the time?
Yeah, if you're going to have any credibility on the radio and you're not going to be opinionated and critical, then you're not going to last on the radio very long.
Grant, was it Joe or was it Gavin that called you up and said you can't say stuff like that?
No, they didn't say I can't say stuff like that. Joe called me up one night and was yelling at me because he wanted me to rip somebody to shreds. And I told him, I go, Joe, I can't do that. You know, after he was screaming, and I know Joe well enough to tell him to shut up. And I did. I go, Joe, shut up. Stop, Joe. Joe, shut up, Joe. You know, I told him that on the phone, you know.
All right, sir. Well, that's all I had, Grant. Go Kings Friday.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it. Yeah, that was some call. Those were some tense moments back then, but it was all good, you know? All right, let's move along to Patrick. Hello, Patrick. Good to have you on.
How you doing, Grant?
Good, Patrick. How are you?
Good. I have to admit, too, when Larry Kruger said that stuff the other day, I sort of did a double take, but you know what? He nailed it, like you said. Everything he said about the Warriors. Yep. I mean, you know.
Yep. Spot on.
I know it's open forum, and maybe your audience isn't too familiar with him, but do you have any thoughts on John Sterling, that he's retiring, or that he's leaving the booth this week?
It was time that he retired. I think that his eyesight had gotten to a point where he was misidentifying catches in the outfield and home runs that weren't home runs. He is part of the Yankee lore, part of their history, particularly, you know, in their last series of championships in the first decade of this century with Jeter and Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill and that group. I mean, he'll go down as one of the favorites of all time in New York broadcasting. So, you know, what is he, 85 years old now? It was time.
Yeah.
You know, he was getting to a point where I think his eyesight got to a point where it was really affecting him in his calls. But he is, he's unique. You know, his sayings, his home run calls, Yankee fans love the guy.
Yeah. I didn't follow Sterling in his early career. Do you have any insights on him? I know he was an Islander announcer at one point, and he announced for the Atlanta Braves, and I believe the Hawks.
He also did. He was one of the first people to ever do sports talk radio on WMCA in New York. I used to listen to John Sterling do sports talk before WFAN on WMCA. He was one of the first people to do sports talk radio, and he was very good at it. He was great. I used to listen to him every night.
Yeah, I never got to listen to him. I listened to Art Rush Jr. a little bit, and like Fordham University Radio before FEN came in. And, you know, Fordham University Radio had Michael Kay there and Mike Breen and Bob Popper. I mean, it was great listening at that time. But so you like Sterling as a talk show host? Because I never heard him like way back then.
He was excellent. He was really good. Yeah, he did a great job. You know, this would have been back in the
early 80s,
I think, on WMCA. I might have the time frame wrong, but he was on before WFAN. Yeah.
Wow. All right. Hey, well, I don't want to bore your audience with the New York sports icons. So anyway, go Kings tomorrow. And go Kings on Friday. And have a good evening. Take care.
Thank you, Patrick. Appreciate your phone call. And I appreciate everyone else. And we'll wrap up the show, and we'll talk to you tomorrow over on my YouTube channel if you don't like that. Again, thank you very much to everyone. Appreciate your support on all of our various forums, and look forward to tomorrow and Friday. Bye-bye now.